Hello, everyone. My name is Charles Kareem Diggs. I'm at Gratis Ford Prison. My number is AK7945, box 244, Gratis Ford, PA, 19426. I wanted to share my feelings about the senior citizens in the prisons, specifically Pennsylvania. And the topic is prisons throughout America have become senior citizen warehouses. In Pennsylvania, the prison population is 10% senior citizen. Those over 50 years of age are considered elderly in these prisons. Many of the prisons throughout the state have become overcrowded with the elderly, that they have separate blocks, separate housing units for them. As everyone knows, prisons was not built for older men and women. It was a young man's institution. Because most crimes, it's accepted that it's done when you're young. And what happens is that they keep you in prison for a substantial number of years. It becomes a burden on the state because the prisons aren't set up to house older men and women. And why is this such a public interest, or why should it be? And my argument is that at some point we should consider reviewing parole for those who are serving life sentences in Pennsylvania, because it's costing the state billions of dollars. And also, they don't have really they're not set up to treat the medical problems that takes place with an elderly prisoner. The lawmakers have made these mandatory sentences, which turned into a death by incarceration. Because even with a release system in the state for those who are elderly or terminally ill, they don't use it. Very rarely do they use it. Maybe one or two guys may get out every couple of years. But outside of that, most of the men and women, when they get older and they get sick, they pass away here. And most of the men who die in prison, the families don't even take them because they've lost, you know, touch with their families. They've been here so long. And it becomes a burden, you know, to bury someone. It costs $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. So keeping the elderly in prison is just a disadvantage for the entire system. In fact, in Pennsylvania, they have a prison called Laurel Heights, and it houses nothing but the elderly and the sick. And that costs $300 million to build that. So you can see this elderly prisoners is expanding and costing the state a lot of money. The fact is that the public is not seeing what's going on in the prisons. They're just not aware. You know, we're busy built in these rural areas. And so what you have, we're just creating employment in these different rural areas, but you're draining the public taxpayers' money, because that money could be used for schools, you know, hospitals, roads, and other things that the citizens need in society. You may want to ask the question, well, why are they keeping people in prison into old age? All I can say is that the laws began to change in the early 80s. They began to, this drug war, and this drug war meant that put more and more people in prison at any cost. But what happened, it incorporated all your other types of crimes. And what they did, they just kept packing the prisons with more and more drug cases. And then most of your murder cases, they're drug related. And so most men came in jail before they were 25 years of age, majority. So they were young too, but they're not considering that when your guy goes up for compensation, they don't consider that. They just deny, deny, deny. So now you have this massive, large prison population, which is dying off one by one. My position would be that the society should realize men and women in jail, some are innocent, some are guilty. The fact is that there's no mechanism to really measure the maturity of that person. To say that someone after 30, 40 years, you resurrect the crime and you say they're the same person, not even an argument. No one's the same. Everybody changes. No matter where you are, who you are, everybody changes. So what has happened is the prison industry has taken the human factor out of being a human being. Because once you say no, a person never changes, you're saying basically they've lost all their humanity. And I would argue that wasn't the purpose of the penal system. You know, the penal system was repentance, you know, punishment, but there was a repentance. There was a form of redemption. That these life sentences throughout Pennsylvania and the United States should be revisited by the legislator or even the governor. But even with the governor, they passed several laws that they amended constitutions in several states where the governor has no say-so in the parole or commutation of the prisoners. It has to go through a commutation board, then the governor, and you got to get all five votes. How are you going to get all five votes unanimously? It's not going to happen. So the few that do make it to the governor's desk, you know, it's not even significant reason to say they have a system. So even with the alleged system in place, it doesn't work. You know, you have the attorney general on the board, a crime victim, lieutenant governor, and two other people, you know, five people, and they're all, you know, on the side of the extensive prosecution mentality. You know, once they're in there, we're keeping them here, we're not taking any chances. And so, and this is why you have what I think is about 5,500 lifers in Pennsylvania who have no hope of parole eligibility. Like I say, every governor, they may let out two or three people, but that's not an acceptable number of people that's being released back into society. And on top of that, those who have gotten out through the last 20 or 30 years are all very successful in society. None of them have returned to prison for anything major at all. So we have a good track record throughout the country. Now, the juveniles, they pass the law. They have to give them parole. They have to get reviewed for parole at some chance. So 500 of them are in prison here in Pennsylvania, and they're all being released now one by one. They've gotten up to about 50 so far. And it made the law retroactive. And it was based on their brain wasn't fully developed. And in that science, the neuroscientists concluded that the brain doesn't become fully developed late 20s, 25, some say up to 30. But the United States Supreme Court, they cut it off at 18. So we're now litigating, trying to get the prison system to recognize the men who were convicted of their crimes. They were under 25. They should be given the chance for parole eligibility. And so that's about all that I have to offer for this evening. I just wanted the public to know that the prisons are turning gray throughout America. And it's time that they begin to return the missing men and missing women that's been in these prisons 20, 30, 40. We've got one guy been here 64 years, you know, and it's just unbelievable. And the public, there's no safety problem here for the public. Most of the men here are older men, they're elderly, they have medical problems. And we think that the society would benefit from that because they have a lot to offer, a whole lot to offer. In fact, it's the elderly men that kept the prisons pretty well safe for people who come in here, young guys. We made it safe for them where they don't have to worry about being molested or their commissary taken advantage of. So we should get an Academy Award for that because prisons aren't rehabilitating anyone. The prisons are helping one another, and we try to influence the younger men. And one more note that a lot of this massive imprisonment is being driven by the prosecutors because they are the ones who are inspiring the state legislators to pass more laws and to give stiffer sentences for various crimes. And then half of your legislators are ex-prosecutors. Many of your governors are ex-prosecutors. So they've actually undermined the Constitution because the Constitution reflects they're trying to make this country separation of power. So one power, part of the government doesn't get all the power. But if you infiltrate each area of the government, you've undermined what Madison and Jefferson was trying to explain, because if you know the ex-DAs, he's running the legislature. All his buddies are now legislators. The governors are ex-prosecutors. The mayors, like Philadelphia, had four or five mayors. They were all ex-prosecutors. We now got a guy running, and he never was a district attorney, and he's talking about change, and it has to start in the DA's office. And I agree with that. I've been saying that for the last four decades, but. So if the public can realize, you know, you have a bunch of prosecutors running the entire system. Even on the commutation board in Pennsylvania, you have a crime victim on there. And all you need is one vote to say you can't be commuted. And usually the crime victim votes against anybody with any type of violent crime. So one person has veto power, which prevents you from even getting to the governor's desk. So this is the type of system we've developed here in the United States. And the public don't know that because everything is done behind the wall in secret amongst that class of prosecutors who then become legislators, run for governors, attorney generals. And so every place a prisoner go to get relief, he's dealing with ex-prosecutors. Same thing with the appellate court. Pennsylvania Supreme Court at one time had five district attorneys. Five. So how was a defense attorney going to get you any fair review of your appellate rights? Same thing with the Superior Court. Half of them are ex-prosecutors. And, you know, so this is the type of system we have. It's lopsided, it's arbitrary, and it's punitive. And I think the more the public understands that, you know, they'll see that this is not fair. It's unreasonable. And that's all basically a man is entitled to, or a woman entitled to in prison. They just want a fair review. reasonable people to, you know, to discuss, dispute their constitutional violations. But we're not getting that. And so this is my message for everyone to get involved in some kind of way in changing the entire criminal justice, judicial, prison system. Thank you very much.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.